Everybody, happy Thursday to you. Happy second Thursday of the month. This is Bill Bauman talking. And you knew I was talking because you just know those things. Anyway, welcome. I am so delighted on this second Thursday of September to open my heart to you and to just welcome myself into your heart. Welcome to our very precious, sacred, beautiful time together. This is so cool. I've been sitting here, just sitting right here in this very chair. Yes, can you picture it? All afternoon, just not just waiting for this time, but just really just being with you and being with us and with whoever's going to be here. And just even through you, whoever's going to benefit from what this hour is, just because you give so much of that out into your world after. And I've just been, what's my word, kind of glowing inside, just really feeling, one, at a real basic level, just so grateful to you, just really grateful to you, not just for being in my life, but for being you. Somehow I'm not making this a lot about myself today, but just really I'm grateful maybe on behalf of the whole planet, just that you're here. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's see, introductions, a couple of little beginning points. I got on the web, I've got a message already about 2.5 hours ago from somebody, one of the people who's usually on this call every month, somebody who lives in Poland, who said she can't be here because she's on vacation, but she'll tune in later, but she wishes every one of us a wonderful, wonderful hour, and she'll catch it later. And so what I would love to do is thank Donna. Thank Donna very much for all the photos that, for those of you who are on the web, online, you're looking at. Of course, right now you're probably looking at me, which is there's no probably about it. It's the least inspiring of all the photos that you will watch this evening. Donna, would you want to say hi to us?
Sure, I will. Hello, everybody, and we are happy that you're joining us. And Bill, looks like Kermit the Frog this time if you're on the computer, because I put a bright green behind him. Welcome you, and welcome you from Las Vegas that has been inundated with monsoons and rains, and now we are back to beautiful sunshine and wonderful temperatures. So welcome, and I'll give it back to Bill.
Wonderful. Wow, thank you, Donna. Yes, I do want to share that the green is my natural color. When I go outside, it turns to, I don't know, some kind of regular flesh color, but when I'm in the house, it's just always green. I don't know why that is, but so picture that one, if you will. A couple other little announcements. Something exciting is happening, not this weekend, but next weekend, and that is here in Las Vegas. We're having our special workshop that I'm calling Quantum Approaches to Healing and Empowerment. And there will be about 60 of us gathered in this wonderful space. And if you're not going to be a part of that, we will just hold you in our trusty hearts. And then a couple other things later. But the other thing I just want to mention, just because it's ahead of time, is the first weekend in December, I have the privilege of showing up again at Zion National Park. The Center for Soulful Living is hosting that annual Zion winter retreat, and it's being led by, what's his name? What's the guy's name? Oh, me, Bill Bauman. So if you feel inspired to be a part of that, then feel free to join it. So are you ready? I'd love to do what we do every time, which is have all of us say hi. And as soon as I figure out how to do it, I'm going to unmute all of us. And what I'm going to do with that is just invite us, those on the phone, we can hear, those online, we can't hear, but feel free to yell out, scream out any way you want. And then those who join us later, please know that you're an intimate part of this right now. So as we just say hi or whatever you feel like saying, this is our way of just putting our arms around each other and welcoming each other to a beautiful time together. Are we ready? Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bill.
Hi,
Bill.
Oh, as they say in Mormon land, oh my heck, that was really remarkable. So thank you. That was just beautiful. So are you ready? Are you ready for, yep, here it is, a talk. Little Billy is about to open his mouth and say some things. And so I, as I usually do, I sat and I just kind of opened up to the spirit of this hour. I opened up to all of our souls together with, of course, the general question of, not my usual question of what's up, but the general question of what would, just as a focus, what would the spirit of this hour like us to be with? And just before I tell you what came to me, I really do want to say that in one sense, it almost doesn't matter what we talk about. It almost doesn't matter what comes out of my mouth or our mouths. What matters, I think, is we are in this sacred moment joined together. And in the spirit of where two or more are gathered, amazing things can happen. What I see, what I notice so often is we show up, like right now, and regardless of what the mind might chew on in terms of a concept or an approach or whatever, that the infinite, I'll just use that term, the infinite wants nothing more but to just give to each of us. And so I just want to invite, as we talk about whatever we're going to talk about, I really want to invite you just to be open to blessing. Be open to whatever is, let's just say, a response to whether it's a need or whether it's a need that you don't even know you have or whether it's it's not even a need or a desire. It's just whatever would be just perfect for you at this moment. Please just be open to that as I am with and for every one of us. So as I open to that, the title, if in fact I could use that term, the title or focus that came to me is this. Everything lies within. Everything. So if I just say that again, everything lies within. I think what that means is everything lies within each one of us. And I know in my psychological years, for those who don't know, I played psychologist for a number of years. Psychological people tend to say that all the answers are within us. And I remember, interestingly, especially in the years that I did a lot of hypnosis and hypnotherapy, I would, especially with children, children loved this. When children came to me and they had whatever issues they had, I taught them this adorable little, it's within the hypnotherapy approach or technique, bag of tricks, if you will, but I taught them this adorable little trick. It took them about three minutes to learn it, where just their autonomic nervous system would answer questions that had a yes or a no answer. And so if the answer was yes, the index finger would just automatically go up, would rise or raise. And if the answer was no, the middle finger would go up. And if the answer was I don't know, the ring finger would go up. And if the answer was something like I don't want to talk about it or I'm not going to give you an answer, then the little finger went up. So I taught them that, asked them a couple little questions, and they were amazed that that's there. And then any time during our sessions together that I would ask them a question and they didn't know, I would maybe say, well, why don't we try that? Let's just reach within, because you really do know way down there. It's just that you don't know that you know. And so we would do that, and sure enough, without fail for children. For some adults, you know, we learn to block that a little bit with our conscious control system. But for children, I think without fail for years, the answer would come. I would say, is it this? No. Is it that? Yes. And as soon as that yes finger would go up, all of a sudden their eyes would usually get bright, and it was the delight of knowing the truth, knowing what's within themselves. So again, psychologically, we tend to say that all the answers, any answer we want, lives within us. And of course, in that paradigm, we tend to call that the subconscious self. And more spiritually oriented persons tend to say the truth, and we could call it the answers, but the truth of who we are, the truth of any particular situation, the truth of life itself, is within each and every one of us. And so somewhere what that means, I think, is that the deep, deep, deep within you and deep within me, we really know stuff. We really, really know stuff. And so I just want to say it this way. As you know, I spend a lot of my day every day talking to people. I know, it's terrible. And awful people I talk to. Oh, my gosh, you would not believe what terrible people I talk to. Oh, whoops, I forgot. You're one of them. I talk to wonderful people. Nah, that's a bad joke. So anyway, so I talk to people, and so often I wind up telling them something that is the truth of themselves or is the answer from within. And I can't tell you how many times, I would guess three-fourths of the time, that's a wild guess, they look at me and they say, that's it, you know? I knew that, but I just couldn't put my finger, I couldn't put it into words until you said it. And then as soon as I say it, they start putting it into words, and they start picking up on it, and then it's like they turned on a light switch inside. And then walking around that room with the light on, they start getting more clear and more aware. And so just from that, they're able to live in their truth even more. And so there's some value in being connected to our truth, or to the truth of any moment, or to the truth of what we're going through, or what seems to be gripping us. And what I mean by that is, so often we just rely on, and I can't tell you how often I see it, we just rely on, let's just call it societal canned interpretations. Gee, what's going on here? Oh, I'm afraid, or I must be afraid. Well, the person may be afraid, but I could tell that was kind of a mentally centered answer, sort of checking out the smorgasbord of regular possibilities, and not necessarily coming from their own source, from that place where the truth lies deep within themselves. And so often I'll say, maybe you are, but let's kind of move out of your mind here for a minute, and let's go somewhere else. So however we language it, psychologically, spiritually, philosophically, it doesn't matter. Everything lies within us. So I think there's an amazing implication. And by the way, this is about the time in our time together where I feel like whatever the truth is within you, the truth that wants you, the truth that is reaching out to you, the truth that is trying to connect with you, the truth that seems to want you to be participating in itself, where that truth is starting probably right about now to reach out to you. So while we're talking, I just want to invite you to not just listen deep down, but to, as much as possible, just be connected. Let yourself be connected deeper and deeper to wherever is that, let me call it, treasure chest. That treasure chest, that enormous, precious treasure chest within you, where you know. Where you just know. So I think the implication of it all is that in you and in me and in us lies an enormous, enormous warehouse. I just called it a treasure chest. And some would say that, and I would be one of those, but some would say that treasure chest houses not just your or my personal truth. It's not just that my personal truth is alive and well, the personal answers for me, but really, if we really put it under the microscope, if we really show up to it, if we really give ourselves to it, if we open up to everything that it is, that it houses also the truth about everything, really about everything, so that somebody's giving you a hard time, deep down you know exactly what's going on with that person. Some circumstance, some situation, some world event, some disease, some problem, some this, some that. The deep within you, there is the strongest, deepest clarity about what that is. And that's a clarity that for the most part, I'm sure with some exceptions, really does not want to hide itself from you. Really, really wants to be an intimate part of your knowing, so that you can, in the spirit of the truth shall set you free, so that you can be free. So in a sense, and again, I'm sure there are exceptions to this, but the more we know, the more deeply we know it, the more qualitatively we are aware of the truth of whatever, then the more opportunity we have to find the wisdom of, the message of, the invitation of, the inspiration of, the truth of, and the freedom, our own freedom in and through and about what's there. I know for me, I'm probably at that point in my life where the usual answers, the usual what I call smorgasbord of interpretations in the human scene don't really apply. And so for me, if there's a, something's going on and I'm not quite sure what it is, I tend to, and I'm saying this because I feel like there are a number of you who are roughly in the same place, so where I go is not so much in terms of any of the stereotypic smorgasbord of possibilities. Like, for example, I'm afraid. That one just never does it for me. It never rings the chime of truth, if you will. But I just go to, wow, what's really happening? And this is my question. What's really happening that I can access and know in a way that's outside the box? And I really think for the vast, vast, vast majority of all of us, it's not just the usual answers don't quite do it, and sometimes they do, just to recognize that, but that it's that we're outside-the-box beings. The translation, you're really weird. Anyway, we're really bigger beings, and so to look for the answers, not so much in the seemingly tried and true boxes of interpretation, but to look to outside the box for them. So I think there's an amazing, amazing phenomenon. So hear this. You actually hold within yourself the secrets of the ages. You, and maybe capital Y, capital O, capital U, you have your finger, your innermost finger, your internal invisible finger on the pulse of everything in creation. Because there's so much in you that is creation, kind of expressing as an individual person, but that individual you is also intimately bonded with, connected with, one with, flowing with, we're plugged into the truth of everything that's out there. And you, again, capital Y, capital O, capital U, you register in your own knowing. You register everything that has life, that has life within you, that has life outside of you. And so on the one hand, I want to say, I don't feel like I'm saying, oh, wow, let's just all know everything for the sake of knowing everything, because that's just a kind of a mental exercise in a sense. But the truth that does set us free is really, really here for us. So if I go back to that theme that I mentioned about myself, where I tell people what at least I perceive as the truth, or what I feel their soul is telling me about their truth, and they not from a place of believing me, but from a place of, oh, wow, that speaks my truth. That's an external voice just echoing the truth from within. Oftentimes I hear myself saying something like, you know, you've got the intuition here. If you would like to use a fitness term, if you would exercise that intuition muscle, if you would keep going to that intuitive gift that you have, and just ask yourself, what do I know? What do I know in this moment about X, or just what do I know about anything? There's a place very, very deep within you, very much at your core, at your center that would love, would just love to tell you. To tell you again, not primarily just so you know, and maybe sometimes just that, but maybe more frequently so that in and through the knowing, you can find a place of greater freedom or greater healing or greater awakening or greater expansiveness, if you will. So if we lined up, oh, let me say 10 different people. I just made up the number 10. And ask each one, where is it within you that that knowing is? I think each person might give us a different answer. Again, like we said, a psychologically oriented person might say, ah, it's in my subconscious mind. And there was that book way back, probably the 1950s, if I'm not mistaken, called The Power of the Subconscious Mind. And I forget the author, but many of you will remember the author. He was really world famous at the time, and that book just splashed all over the world. And I've almost got his name down, but I don't have it. So that person would say, ah, it's in my subconscious mind. A spiritually oriented person might say, it's in my soul. And maybe somebody who's more energy oriented or love oriented would say, it's in my heart. And maybe a more physically oriented person would say, ah, it's in my gut. It's in my, I have a gut level knowing. Or somebody else might say, it's in my existential depths. Or somebody very much into the light or the grander spirituality of them might say, it's in my spirit. My mighty spirit holds the answer. Or somebody in a sort of a quantum physics or a modern physics approach might say, ah, it's out in the Akashic field. It's way out there, and somehow quantumly I'm so connected to that that as it is out there, boom, it's all of a sudden right here. And then what might somebody else say? Oh, they might say, it's actually in some little corner of my conscious mind. Some people talk about the brain, and they talk about the four sections of the brain. You know, there's the primal section of the brain, which is the reptilian brain, and then there's the emotional section of the brain, which is the mammalian brain, and then there's the rational section of the brain, which is the cerebral cortex, and then they get to this next part that they tend to call the spiritual part of the brain, which is the prefrontal cortex, and that's that little space right in the front of the brain where kind of it feeds what a chakra-oriented person might call the third eye, and where the third eye is, sort of plugs into that, if you will, where, if you will, knowing lives. So I've put, I don't know, maybe 10 different answers to that. I hope it's 10 because I said we lined up 10 people, and I don't want to leave anybody out. But in truth, if we look at it, all these answers, they yes, because of a different conscious mind perspective, we locate the spot of the source of that knowing in seemingly different places, but we're all really, except for that conscious level part of it, we're all pointing to the same place. We're all pointing to the exact same place, and that's what I'd like to dedicate this time to. We're pointing to the sacred you. The sacred you. And in a sense, it really doesn't matter whether those answers are up in the Akashic field or whether they're down in your gut or whether they're in your heart or in a part of your brain. None of that really, really matters. But those are just mechanics, if you will. Those are just part of the human architectural schema of how we're put together. What really matters is there's this sacred you where, among so many other things, things like love, things like power, things like creativity, things like vast spirit, among so many other facets of you, knowing, clarity, lives, is very alive, very well. And here you are. And let's maybe just have a bit of a meditative kind of time with that, whether formally or informally, or just directly or indirectly here, as you just embrace the sacred you. Yes, here you are. here I am, here we are, the sacred self. And if you would like a visual, you could picture that sacred self of you very much like lying on an altar. Here we are in a sacred site, in a sacred space, in a temple, with right in the middle of the temple itself an altar, or a sanctuary, an altar. And this is the altar in a very sacred place, in the inner sanctum of a temple, church, synagogue, whatever, or nature itself. In the middle of that sacred place, there's often an altar, which is usually a place of offering, where we offer ourselves or offer some gift to the infinite. But other times, that altar is a place of great receptivity. It's the home, if you will, of the divine. And so the divine gives to us in and through whatever's on that altar. And I'm suggesting, and, you know, go there only if you feel like it, I'm suggesting the visual of you on that altar, because the real truth of you is, oh my gosh, you are really sacred. You are holy, to use that word. You are divine. You are infinite. You are an amazing, amazing gift of the divine that the divine has put on this altar to take form as you, as the sacred you, so that you, through all the gifts, all the nature of your being, including knowing, can give. Give to this planet, give to this humanity, give to this universe, give to this creation, give to yourself, with the sense that in giving to yourself, because you are everything, you're equally giving to all of life, past, present, and future. And so you're that embodiment of what we call the divine. You embody all infinity. You embody the quantum source that underlies and predates all creation. You embody everything that is. Everything. And how sacred. We look at the divine, whatever name we might give it, and we look at it with great respect. And we give it that deserved respect, because we see it as so sacred. We don't see it as limited and small. We see it as, among other things, all-knowing and all-giving and all-powerful and all-potentialed. And I look at you right now on that altar, and I say, ah, that's you. All those descriptions, non-limited, non-small, it's you. How really, really, in the truth of you, the deepest, purest truth, how remarkably special. Hand chosen and handcrafted by the divine, by the creative source of you, put together just right, in just the right configuration. Just like physicists often say, astrophysicists often say that ooh, if in this entire universe, if any one little phenomenon was off 1 millimeter over these thousands of years and the way it moves through the light field, our existence as we have it today could never happen. And I think the very same thing with you and me and us and everyone. But let's go back to you. That you are, to use that term, handcrafted, individually designed, custom made, if you will, by a true artist, an artist that knows just how to put together that embodiment of, that life force of, that energied movement of, that all-knowing consciousness of the divine, in a way, placed on that altar that is sacred. And so here we are, every one of us here, if there are, let's just say, 100 of us together, joined together right now, here we are looking at you on this altar, and we're acknowledging, what a precious, beautiful, sacred, perfect being. And feel, if you're a feeler, or if you're an intuit, or whatever is your style, feel the truth of that, wherever that truth resides. And again, where it resides is not important at this moment, but the truth. It's a truth that three-dimensionally in our regular human life, we tend not to see, let alone go to. But here we are. We're in this holy of holies. You're on this altar. You've got the divine spotlight on you. And the divine spotlight wants to awaken your deeper, fuller connection to what you know. Deeper, fuller connection to the truth, to the wisdom, to the answers, to the knowing, to the clarity, to the awareness of whatever. Because you are a beaming electron of knowledge. And if you just, whether again in your feeling, in your visualizing, in your intuiting, in your picturing, in your whatever, if you just let yourself honestly know the truth of who you are right here, handcrafted, custom designed, made to perfection. And if you look at, let's just say, the something in yourself that you might be critical of, judgmental of, condemning of, irritated with, mad at, impatient with, or whatever. But look at that not just through the eyes of the handcrafter, the eyes of that divine source, but look at that through the eyes of your all-knowing self. You come up, I think, with the same answer, whether it's through divine eyes or your eyes, because when we're really honest with ourselves, the deeper truth about us is we are that. And so let yourself look at whatever it is about yourself, or if you want, about life or somebody else, that, again, in a regular three-dimensional mind, you might have an issue with. And go to the truth that, that part of me is created perfect. Handcrafted, custom designed, created with enormous wisdom, placed in me, given to me, whether as a phenomenon or as an impulse or as an orientation or as a condition, just given to me. Given to me for whatever reason. And at another point, you might want to ask yourself that reason. But again, always go outside the box, if it feels right, to find that answer. But the reason is not our concern right now. That is given to you. And just let yourself sink into the truth of it. I mean the real truth, the deeper truth, the whole truth of it. And relatively quickly, I don't know how long, it might happen here, the answer might pop up to you tomorrow or the next day or whatever, but relatively quickly, because everything in you wants you to know, the bigger picture of that something comes to you. Or all of a sudden you look at it from a whole different angle than you had looked at it before. Or all of a sudden it inverts itself, turns itself inside out so that you can't hold it like you did before, but you see it through other eyes. And all of a sudden, just all of a sudden, there you see what maybe you felt was an irritant, a bother, maybe even an enemy. And you see, oh my gosh, it's a gift. And it's the perfect gift for me, given who I am, given what my life is, given what I'm here for. So the sacred you, lying on this altar, with this divine light shining upon you, and that light shining into all the nooks and crannies of your person, of your humanness. And that light, just awakening, just like we, somebody's sound asleep in a dark room, and we walk in and we turn on the light, and the person jumps up like, whoa, who turned on the light? I'm awake. So this light is just awakening, just turning on a light within whatever facets, maybe many facets of the human you, and awakening each of those facets to the sacred you, to the holy you, to the, if I may say it, the perfect, perfect you. Yes, you know, we tend to make distinctions. It's like, yeah, we say, yes, in my mystical self, I know I'm perfect. But in my human self, I'm really working on my imperfections. And that kind of dualistic distinction, while helpful in some ways, absolutely, oftentimes leaves us locked into, by subconscious choice, locked into that human perception that I'm imperfect. So maybe, and I don't know why I feel like saying it this way, but maybe it would be helpful to say something like, you know what? The real truth of me is I am sacred, special, perfect, handcrafted, custom designed that way. And that the dream I'm dreaming, the story I'm telling, the mirage I'm living is that I'm imperfect. And just with that, just as from a truth point of view, I feel like that bespeaks or puts into words the truth a little more accurately. Then, if it's time to know something, if it's time to get really, really clear, what's really, really going on here? What is the truth? To go not so much to the, back to the story, to the human storyteller that's in the middle of I'm imperfect and trying from that place of imperfection to find out the truth of that imperfection. And I think the reason for not going there is that when we start with that, that's usually where we wind up. You know, it's that old self-fulfilling prophecy. If I think I'm a loser, sure enough, I go through all sorts of processes around it to investigate whether I'm a loser. And sure enough, I wind up being a loser. So if I feel like I'm imperfect and I investigate it from that angle, I'm probably going to wind up saying, by golly, look at that. I really am imperfect. I better get my work clothes on and work on that even more. But if instead of that approach, we go to that, what did I call that, that mystical self? Just go to that mystical self where you are lying on that altar, where this divine light is shining upon you, awakening every facet of your humanness, and from that sacred space of your created perfect self, you open up to the question, wow, what's the truth that this light is shining on right now? And maybe for each one of us, I might ask that question because I'm imagining most of us are kind of hanging out in our own set of circumstances, in our own life, in our own perspectives, and looking at ourselves somewhat around that question of what is the truth? So what I wonder right now is the bigger truth. What is the bigger truth of you? There you are on that altar, the light is shining. And the light is awakening the answer. it may not speak in linear mind-oriented constructs or words. It may speak the language of intuition. It may speak the language of feeling, energy. It may speak a subconscious language that we might call symbolism. It might give you a memory from your childhood or from earlier in your life that somehow built into the memory is a truth or an awareness that is just a breadcrumb that's being given you so that in your awareness, in your mind, you can go to the bigger truth. It could speak any of a thousand languages. But rather than working at the translation, let's just be for a minute. Be in the truth. Be in the sacred truth. Be in the guiltless truth. Be in the fearless truth. Be in the truth that isn't crusted over by or conditioned by regular three-dimensional human thinking, which is more narrow. But the truth, that's just the truth. What does it feel like just to be sitting in the truth, regardless of how the truth might be speaking or moving or stirring or just being? What's that like? Just to be in this space where, wow, I know everything because I'm handcrafted, custom designed. Just uniquely architectured. And everything that is in me has a bigger story, has a deeper truth. And I, as a handcrafted, divinely designed, custom-made being, have the right, and in fact have the calling, to open myself to know. It could be, I think, that this moment is one of those moments of initiation where even if we know bunches of stuff about ourselves or about life, that we're being initiated into a bigger or a deeper or a fuller clarity. It could be that as we're just letting this divine light that's shining on us as we're on this altar, that we're letting that light initiate us into itself. For it's often said that in the light, every knowing lives. And so we may be being lifted into that light as that light lifts itself into us. Or as that light enters a deep, perhaps darker room of our human consciousness and flips on the light switch, maybe right now, flips on the light switch and says, yoo-hoo, time to wake up. Maybe it wasn't time before. Maybe you were waiting for this or that. And now it's a time. Time to wake up. Time to know. Time to be aware. So while you're with that, if I go back to my example, my personal example that I talked about up front, where I spend a fair amount of time just telling people what they already know, even if they don't know it consciously. Again, some major percentage of the time when I say, here's what I see, what's that like for you? The answer is, oh, yes, I knew it but didn't know I knew it. So I feel like the gift of this precious sacred evening together is the gift of taking what we know but either didn't know we knew or weren't ready or willing to believe or trust that we knew what we knew, to take that and awaken us to knowing what we know, or, to say it more humanly, to trusting, trusting that precious gift of intuition that we have. Picture for a minute, if you will, if you feel like it, what would it be like to live your life always trusting your knowing? Just let that digest. What would it be like to live every minute of every day of your life knowing? And then I watch when I ask people questions, I watch their knowing instantly show up, and then I watch how in their mind, conscious or subconscious or whatever, they block it. And that's not a criticism. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. That's like a teenager. But mom, everybody does it. Everybody does it. But we're not just everybody. This light shining on you from this altar is awakening as an inspiration, as an integration, as a gift, as an immersion into your truth, is awakening your trust of your knowing. Will you trust? Will you believe? Yes, you might be wrong sometimes, but pretty quickly, something will stir in you, your intuition will stir in you and say, whoops, yeah, you got that one a little off. Let's try it again. And then, in a relatively short time, you can full-time know what you know. And to know that is to know your godliness, to know your sacredness, to know your gifts, to know the impact you have on other people, to know the effects of the love that you give out, and to know about 1,000 other things. And then, sitting in, standing in, walking in that knowing, with that truth making you free, it becomes a much more interesting life. I really, really thank you. Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful co-experience of truth, of the truth of you. What a beautiful, beautiful being you are. I'm going to, as soon as I pull myself out of the zone I'm in here, I'd love to open this up to any of us who would like to say anything, share anything. As usual on this once-a-month call, I ask that people not ask me questions, because this time together is really very much more satsang-ish. I'm sure that's got to be a word, where it's about divine blessing, and it's really not so much about answering technical questions, if you will. But if you want to share anything, whether personally or not so personally, please feel free to do exactly that. So I want to open that up, and I'm going to just go, first of all, to the web. And we've got a few things that I'd like to read here. But also, for those of you who are on the phone, you know, you could break the phone standing on it like that. You might want to get off the phone first and then put it to your ear. It tends to work a little better. Oh, that was very bad, Bill, very bad. If it's any consolation, I'm ashamed of myself for that one. So all you need to do, oh, dear, hold on a second. What do I tell you to do? Yes, is if you... you want to share something, you press star 2, and then that shows me your hand. So I am again, going to the web, and oh my gosh, that funny person from Aloha Land, Hawaii, says Aloha ha 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 ha. So that's a beautiful announcement to all of us. Oh my goodness. Okay, this is more to Donna, I think. Oh, and to me. Hi, Bill. So grateful to you, too. Yes, yummy green around your great picture. Very nice. So many thanks to dear Donna. And happy almost your birthday. Best birthday wishes and awesome blessings. By the way, just in that regard, thank you, by the way, whoever sent that. That was beautiful. I had my birthday a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. Donna's having hers this next week. And for all those people that sent both of us birthday greetings, oh, my gosh, I was just touched. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. The next one says, I don't think I understand this. Billy the musician kicks off and on, mostly off. Will we be able to hear you? I don't know. I bet maybe that means the music kicks on and off instead of the musician. I don't know if that's, will we be able to hear you? So maybe that means you can't hear me. I don't know. Anyway, I guess we'll figure that out in just a little bit. So, is there somebody, there is somebody who'd, like to say something to us. And this person's name happens to be anonymous. That's really cool. I have two columns here. One says guest and the other says anonymous. So, you take your pick. I am going to see if I can do the right thing. I can. I'm going to unmute you right now. And hi, you want to talk to us?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi. I'm not really anonymous. This is Gail. And
yes, Gail. No, you are not anonymous. You're so right.
I have a question which I'm not asking you to answer personally for me, but in general. When I kind of go to that place on the altar and I look at what feels to be a decision question, which way to go, I get one very clear answer, and then I get another very clear answer.
Mm.
And it seems like they're both just fine.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
So... is that just the ultimate reality that really nothing matters?
I think, unfortunately, I think you just put your finger on the real answer. I think at one level, it usually, and again, it could mean a little different something for everybody, Gail, of course, but it usually means either one of these would work. It's like there's a fork in the road. You could take this direction, you could take that direction. Each has its own value, and then it like sort of honors the choice making you and says, yeah, you choose either one. It's that, but more mystically, spiritually, it means also, I think, exactly what you said, that it really doesn't matter. And then if that's the case for any one of us, I think we get that as a way of really inviting us to let go of any learned, I'm going to use a word like rigidity or need or orientation to control or trying to do the right thing, because so many of us, nobody here cares about doing the right thing. That's a problem right there. Anyway, but for so many of us, we're oriented, we're trained to do the right thing. And so it really is an implication that says, you know, why don't we just give up the right thing, wrong thing kind of a deal, and just be in the freedom of whatever the choice is. So I really appreciate the question. That was a beautiful one.
Well, when you say that, my next thought is that whichever choice there is, there's juice in it.
Nicely said. Yeah, yeah, there's juice in it.
And letting go of that sense that anything could possibly be a mistake.
Wow. I feel like you are really saying it. Exactly. And what I hate about it is you're saying it so much better than I do.
Oh, that's silly.
I'm teasing.
and I think it seems like it's about being more playful with the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And realizing that that's the ultimate, for at least for me, that's the ultimate truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So to enable myself to live whatever choice it is through the way that I am,
mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
that's really what this is about.
Wow. Wow, you said that. Gail, thank you. That was just exquisite to me.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And just as we say goodbye, I want to comment on that a little bit to all of us, just in terms of what I was noticing, because what I was noticing is that if you listen to the progression of Gail's thought, she had like basically probably four or five insights there, or expressions of truth, different ways of saying in a sense the same thing, but each one built on the other. And it's just like as she was tapped into that and got one expression of truth, then that led to another and led to another. And I loved, Gail, the way you owned all that. So thank you. I'm going to shift to somebody else who has the area code of 847. And hello there.
Hi there, it's JS.
JS, I knew it was you because this little thing didn't say anonymous.
Oh,
but hi.
That's right. I'm not anonymous. I was so tracking with Gail.
Mm.
It's really amazing because when I really listen to my knowing, it very much wants me to stop asking questions and just have fun with it. and just if there is that bubble of deep down in your heart, in your gut, in your aura field, everything aligned with just having fun being you, then all of a sudden the questions kind of melt away and you know, even though you don't know what you know.
Mhm. Mhm. Wow.
So thank you, Gail, because it was really resonating with me. Everything, that whole progression was absolutely magnificent. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful. And thank you, JS, for that commentary and for adding to it, really. And I really, really appreciate that. And it just to say that one other way, what's phenomenal is like everything we're talking about is the truth and the answer, and then there's a place where, and I think that's what we're dancing on the edge of right here. It's a place where all of a sudden all of that ceases to be important. It like opens a doorway into a greater place of freedom. We get to a place where we know, we own what we know, and then that leads us to the bigger truth, which is that's not the really important thing. But there's so much more important, and both Gail and JS put beautiful words to that. So thank you both very, very much. I'm going to shift back to the web and see what we've got. Donna. Just from Wendy from New York, just love the beautiful artwork, Donna. Stunning. Look forward to seeing you very soon. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah.
Next one from I always have a question of whether to identify people, so I'm just I will because we've been doing that. So from Marjolaine, thank you, Bill, for the graceful custom-built, handcrafted gift of ourself. Tonight we've received an invitation to expand the design of our limitless possibilities. Amazing grace. Love to you and Donna. And thank you so very, very, very much. Oh, and we've got one more that just came in. This is a quote. This is from Aloha Ha Ha. This is a quote from Ramakrishna. How can one become embarrassed or remain hesitant if God alone exists? God is dancing for God. Now sing, sing, all of you sing. What a gorgeous quote. I don't think I've ever heard that quote. How can one become embarrassed or remain hesitant if God alone exists? God is dancing for God. And not that that needs translation at all, but I think that means each of us is dancing as God for that God. and that's the real truth of who we are. Wow, beautiful. Thank you so much. And let's see, we've got, we're just about out of time, but there's one more person. If it's okay with everybody, I'd love to call in one more person, area code 703. Hi.
Hi, this is Carol.
Hello, Carol.
Hi. You know, I didn't quite experience it the way the previous people who spoke up
mm-hmm.
did.
Sure.
Because I was more like, I was just grateful for the whole journey, that the discussion and journey and guidance. And what I felt was like, well, this feels dark, and I don't know what I know. And you know, wanting
mm-hmm.
to just pop up in my face, I don't know what I know. But there's some peace. There was some peace in thinking, okay, I don't know what I know, but beyond all that, I know.
Yeah.
So in this
yes,
moment,
yes.
I don't know, but beyond all that, and beneath all this, I know. So there was peace
mm-hmm.
without revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Or a revelation. Oh. Do you know what I'm saying, kind of?
Oh, Carol, I really hear it. I really get it. And I find myself actually joyous at that, not just that insight, but that peace that you found, that you discovered, just in the knowing that if you don't know, you know. yeah, so I really get it. And I frankly think you're probably speaking for a number of other people as well. And there's that to me is just a gem to... To even if we don't know, to sit in the knowing, even if the knowing isn't speaking a language we quite get, it's not just a security, it's a beautiful feeling of peace. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. Well, guess what? It's would you believe? I don't know where this hour went. Oh, I know where. The guy that was talking up front just took all that time. If I find him, I'm going to talk to him about that. So guess what? Our next gathering is the second Thursday of next month, which happens to be October the 9th. And I will look really forward to it. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful month. And just to pull it back to this everything lies within theme, I hope you have a wonderful month as this beautifully sacred, light-shining knower of yourself. Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful time together. And I am going to push a little button here, click a little thing, and invite us to say goodbye again. We won't hear you if you're online, but we will feel you. And if you're here visiting, you are welcome to join us right now. Goodbye,
love
everyone.
Love you, Donna. Bye.
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 Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Have a
that
wonderful
just
night.
Lovely. Thank
bye.
You, Bill.